use to access the Word of God. I want you to hold it up and repeat after me. Those of you who are online, thank you for watching this morning. Say, this is God's Word. Come on, I need you to say it from your chest. Say, this is God's Word. Not Pastor Evans' Word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. It's always a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So Lord, as we come today to hear your word, I thank you that no one will leave this place spiritually unfed. That with your word and by your spirit, we will get clarity. We will experience conviction. And most of all, I thank you that our faith is going to be raised, because faith comes by hearing and hearing your word. So as I step back, I thank you for the Spirit of God stepping up to minister grace to the hearers of your word. And Lord, you never disappoint, because your word says you watch over it to perform it. So Lord, whatever your word needs to do to get today, whether that's healing, whether that's delivering, whether that's changing, whether that's convicting, whatever your word needs to do today, I thank you for watching over your word to make it happen. And I thank you in advance for every person who's here today whose lives will be changed as a result of hearing the word and believing it. In Jesus' name, can everybody say amen? Amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So we've been in a series called Noise Cancellation. Everybody say noise cancellation. And the goal of the series has been to remove or to reduce any noise that may be hindering us from hearing God's voice. Because as believers, one of the things that you and I should be able to do, and that is to hear the voice of God. And so last week, our topic was turning down the volume of pride. And if you missed last week's message, I want you to go back and listen to it or watch it, because pride can be talking so loud that it drowns out the voice of God. So today we're actually on lesson number 8. Everybody say number 8. And typically I don't do series this long, but we're on lesson number 8. And I think this may be our last message in the series. Now, most of the time people say, you know, they save the best for last. Well, I'm going to say it this way. I have saved the most important one for last. So if you're taking notes, as a matter of fact, if you need the notes, raise your hands and our ushers will give you a copy of the notes. And if you're following me on the notes, then our message title is Your Heart Helps You to Hear. Your heart helps you to hear. You say, well, what do you mean by that? One of the things that I want to point out today is that one of the main functions of our hearts is for us to hear the voice of God. And so the goal of the message today is to help us see that our hearts and our hearing is connected. Everybody say, my heart and my hearing is connected. So we're going to jump right into point number 1, and I really want you to have your heart open, because I believe God's going to say something to you in a way that you may have heard it, but now it's going to register. So the first point is your heart hears. Your heart hears. So what I'm going to do is read a verse of scripture, but the context of this scripture is a parable that Jesus was talking to some people about. Most of us have probably heard the parable of the sower who sowed some seeds. So the verse that I'm about to read is actually Jesus talking about this particular parable. But out of this verse, it's going to point out what I want us to see from our first point, which is your heart hears. Matthew chapter 13, verse 8, I'm reading out of the King James Version. Jesus says, but other seeds fell into good ground. Everybody say good ground. And these seeds that fell on good ground, they brought forth fruit. Some brought forth fruit 100-fold. Some brought forth fruit 60-fold. And some brought fruit what? 30-fold. Read verse 9 with me, church. Who hath ears to hear, let him what? Let him hear. Now, I believe most, if not all of the people that Jesus was talking to when he was talking, had ears or physical ears just like we have. So my question is, why would Jesus say something like this if everybody around him or most people around him had ears to hear? Well, it could be because there must be and could be other ways you and I can hear. Now, this phrase, ears to hear, let him hear, that phrase is throughout the Bible. It's about 13 to 15 times in the New Testament. So what I want to do is read a New Testament, another verse that has that phrase in it. It's found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Jesus was talking and he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear, watch this, what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, right there, there are two things about that verse that I want you to pay attention to. The first thing is we heard the phrase prior to this, which is, he that hath ears, let him hear. So just look at your neighbor and say, you got ears, you need to listen. Okay, so he said, let them that have ears, let them hear. But then he added to it and said, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, we already know that anything that the Holy Spirit says is going to be spiritual. So if the Holy Spirit is saying things that are spiritual, then that means there must be two kinds of ways for us to hear. Well, these two kinds of ways is physically and spiritually. Everybody say, I can hear physically and spiritually. So watch this now. We hear physically with our natural ears, but we receive spiritually with our hearts. I'm going to say that again. We hear physically with our what? With our ears, but we receive spiritually with our hearts. Here's a take-home statement that I want you to listen to. The condition of our hearts affect the receiving of our hearts. I'm going to say it again. The condition of our hearts affect the receiving of our hearts. In other words, what I'm saying there is this. Based on the condition that your heart may be in, will determine if you hear God's voice or not. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to hear God's voice for my life on a regular basis. But what most people don't understand is one of the reasons they may not hear or be hearing God's voice on a regular basis is because of the position or the condition that their heart may be in. So I'm going to read my take-home statement again. The condition of our heart affects the receiving of our hearts. Listen to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. He says, today, everybody say today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not what? Harden your hearts as in the rebellion. He said, listen, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. So the condition of our hearts determine if we receive his voice or not. And here's the thing. You and I are the ones that determine if our hearts get hard or not. Because he says, the day that you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, which means that I can hear the voice of God and harden my heart towards it. Say amen to that. So God can be speaking, but if our hearts are hard or if our hearts are out of position, we won't be able to receive what God is saying. So let me give you an example that I believe will help us understand this point that I'm trying to make better. So, for example, where First Lady and I live, there are some pockets where if we're on the phone, our cell phones are not going to work properly. So, for example's sake, let's say that First Lady represents God, okay? And My cell phone represents my heart. And so let's say God or First Lady calls me on my cell phone. If God calls or she calls, if I'm in Arlington, phone's gonna work good. If I'm in Mansfield, phone's gonna work good. But when I hit that Cedar Hill area, if she calls me and I'm in one of those bad spots, I won't be able to receive the call that she's sending my way. As a matter of fact, if we're on the phone already and I hit one of those pockets, listen, I won't be able to hear what she is saying to me. If we use it as an example, I won't be able to hear what God is saying to me because of the position that my cell phone is in. Now, is there something wrong with her cell phone? No. Is there something wrong with my cell phone? Does it work? No, my cell phone works. What's the problem? The problem is my cell phone is not in a spot or position for me to receive the calls. Well, that's a lot of people. Our hearts are not in position to hear God calling. Amen. And thank God he'll call you more than one time. Listen, you don't have to leave no voicemail with God. Can you imagine what his voicemail would say? Hi, this is God. Leave a message at the tone, even though I already know what you're going to say, and I'll get back with you. No, God, we don't have to leave voicemails. The problem is, he's constantly speaking. He's constantly calling. Just like he called Samuel. He called Samuel 3 or 4 times, right? So God don't give up on us when we don't pick up the phone, when we don't hear him, when our hearts are not in position to receive. But what he wants us to do, watch this, is to align our hearts in a place where we can hear him. Amen. So, it's the location of my cell phone or my heart that is controlling my reception of First Lady's call, which brings us to point number 2, which is your heart can help or hinder you. I'm going to add to that by saying your heart can help you hear God's voice or your heart can hinder you from hearing God's voice, because our hearts control a lot of important functions of our life. So what I want to do here is just point out some important things that your heart is responsible for. And as I point these things out, I'm hoping that you'll get the importance of how powerful your heart is, so that some of you can learn to protect your heart from foolishness. Because I'm going to show you, your heart, first of all, is where faith works. So our first area that our heart functions in is, number 1, our hearts are where we believe from. This is why your heart is important, because your heart is where you believe from. Romans 10:8 says, but what saith it? The word of God is nigh, even in your mouth, and the word is in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And he says, if you and I will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe where, church? Come on, church, believe where? Believe where? Believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you shall be saved. What did it say we believe at? We believe in our heart. Look at verse 10. For with the heart, man does what? Believe. So you and I, one of the functions of the heart is that's where we believe from. Don't you think that's important? Absolutely. Look at the second function of our heart. Number 2, our hearts are where we love God from. You don't love God from your head. You love God from your heart. Look in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. I'm going to try to go through these very quickly. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and came to Jesus, tempting him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? Verse 27. And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with how much of your heart? How much of your heart? So where do we love God from? We love God from our heart. Notice here he says, you shall love the Lord God with all of your heart. Love God with all of your soul. Love God with all of your strength. Love God with all of your mind. And then he says, and then you need to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what does that mean? Well, we need to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, and we need to love ourselves like God loves us, and that is unconditionally. But let me tell you what that doesn't say. Notice it says that we need to love God with all of our heart. Nobody else should get that kind of love. And that's the problem. Because if you're single and you're ready to get married, I'm going to love this man with all of my heart. No, you can't, because then that means you're going to put him on the level where God is. Only God. Everybody say only God. Only God deserves the kind of love that you love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. When you give somebody else that kind of love, you setting yourself up for failure. You said, well, how am I supposed to love my husband or my wife? You're supposed to love them with the love of the Lord. Amen. Listen, one of the reasons you're probably not married is because God knows when he puts that person in your life, they are going to become competition to him. How many single people in the room? Let me see your hand. Uh-huh. I'm talking to you right now. He said to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. So we love God from the heart. The heart is where we love God from. Here's number three. Our hearts are where we forgive from. This is so good, because forgiveness is a vital part of us hearing God and God hearing us. See, now the context where I'm about to read, Jesus is talking about forgiveness. So in Matthew 18:35, we're going to jump right into this. So it's going to sound like we're jumping in the middle of a verse, and we kind of are. But I'm just telling you, the context is talking about forgiveness, and he's talking about, you know, that, you know, God will forgive you if you forgive others. And so verse 35 says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, Jesus said. He says, if you from your hearts forgive. You from your hearts do what? Forgive. So where do you forgive from? You forgive from your heart. He says, if you from your hearts forgive not every one of his brothers, and if you keep reading, that whole context talks about if you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. So I just wanted you to see that you and I forgive from the heart. That's how important your heart is. Here's number four. Our hearts are so important because our hearts house our desires. God, the Bible says, and this is in Psalm 37:4, that if we will delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us, watch this, the desires of our heart. So our hearts are important because they have the desires that we have on the inside of it. And this is why you have to learn how to protect your heart, which is what I'm going to talk about in just a minute. Because if you don't protect your heart, watch this, you can't protect your desires. And this is why you can't talk to everybody about the desires you have. You know why? Because they don't believe in your desires. But see, the Bible didn't tell us to worry about what other people are thinking about our desire. He said, what things soever you desire when you pray. See, this is why sometimes you can't talk to people about your desires. You know why? Because they don't have faith for your desires. But your desires take place in your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Here's number five, very quickly. Our hearts are where our words originate from. See, words are very important. You may not realize this, but your life, where it is right now, is a compilation of the words that you have spoken. And Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life, it didn't say death or life. He says death and life is in the power of your tongue. So if you are experiencing a series of death in your life, and when I say death, I don't mean just physical death. I'm talking about your finances are dead, your romance is dead, you know, all that. It's dead, right? Check your mouth. Well, our hearts are where our words originate from. Matthew chapter 12 verse 34 says, Jesus said, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Read this part with me. For out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of what? The heart, what's going to happen? So my mouth is speaking because of my what? Because of my heart. Listen to the New Living Translation. I like this one. It says, Jesus said, you brood of snakes. I mean, go to work and say that to some people. Your boss come in your office talking about, is that report ready? You brood of snakes. He says, you brood of snakes. How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your what, church? Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Here's number six. Here's another function that our heart displays. Our heart is the place where the word of God is planted so that we can grow spiritually. I'm going to say that again. Our heart is where is the place where the word of God is planted for us to grow spiritually. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, the psalmist says, your word have I hid in my head. What did he say? He says, your word have I hid in my heart. Why? So I may not sin against you. So most of you don't have a sin problem. You have a word in the heart problem. I'm going to say that over here. You don't have a sin problem. You have a word in the heart problem. Because he says if you hide his word in your heart, he says if you do that, the chances of you sinning are low. So our hearts are where the word of God is planted so we can grow. Here's number seven. This is the last one. Our hearts are where we obey God from. This one here is important. Because the highest goal to show our love for God is when we obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So the highest level of our form of our love for God is when we obey him. Well, guess what, church? You and I, we obey from the heart. You don't obey from the head. You obey from the heart. Listen to Romans chapter 6, verse 17. He says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but now you have obeyed, read it with me, from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. In other words, obedience takes place from the heart. So now can you see why the heart is so important? Because it does all of that. Man, I believe in my heart. Words come from my heart. It just told us right here, obedience takes place from the heart. So you and I must learn how to guard our heart. And that's why Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart, protect it above all else. Why? Because out of it determines the course of your life. The King James says, out of it flows the issues of life. In other words, my life and the direction of my life is going to come from the core of my heart. So I have to learn how to protect it. And most of us haven't learned the art of protection yet. You know why I know that? Because you're dating the same old dude. You're dating the same old dudess. That's a lady. Right? Now, some of you, you're wondering why the same old knuckleheads get in your DM. You know why? Because you got same old knucklehead faith. Amen. Thank you for that one clap. I appreciate it. So the church, listen to this. This is good. If the condition of my heart determines if I hear God's voice or not, then how do I manage my heart so that it stays in a healthy position? I'm going to ask the question again. If my heart and the condition of it determines, listen, how I hear God's voice or not, then how do I manage my heart so that it stays in a healthy place? Well, that's a good question, and I'm glad you asked me. And I'm about to tell you something right now that can change your life. As a matter of fact, what I'm about to tell you right now, I ought to charge you for. But because I'm a generous pastor, I'm going to give it to you for free. Listen to this now. The most important thing about your heart, look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about your heart. The most important thing about your heart is you are 100% in control of it. Oh, I'm going to say that again. Because see, some of y'all is like, no, Pastor, he be messing with my heart because you let him. Pastor, she keep breaking my heart. You let her. The most important thing about your heart is that you are in 100% control of it. Now see, now some of y'all be like, I'm just going to protect my heart and ain't nobody going to hurt me no more. Well, the problem with that attitude is you can't love without your heart hurting. No, and we hurt God's heart all the time, right? Well, you can't love without your heart hurting or getting your heart hurt. Let me say it like that. But here's the other part of it. Even though you can't love without getting your heart hurt, loving will heal your hurt heart. Amen. So, here's the $1 million question. How do we maintain a good heart? Because based on what we read, Luke 6:45, it says out of the good treasure of a good man's heart, he brings forth good things. Out of the evil treasure of a person's heart, they bring forth evil things. So, we have to realize that our hearts can be evil. How many know some evil people? Evil. Yeah, your heart can get evil too. Have you ever did something and been like, man, I can't believe I did that? Or you said something and be like, man, I can't believe I said that. Well, Jeremiah 17:9 tells us why. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and our heart can be desperately wicked. So man, if the heart can be wicked, how do we keep our hearts in good condition so that when God speaks to us, because that's the whole thing I'm talking about today. We need our hearts to stay in such a position so when God begins to speak to us, we can hear it. And I'm telling you, some of you are not hearing God like you need to. It's because your heart is off. You say, well, Pastor, how's my heart off? I don't know. But I tell you what, we have been designed to hear God's voice, and if my heart is the place that he speaks to me from, if I'm not hearing him, that means there's some part of my heart that may be off. So how do we keep our hearts in good condition so when God speaks, we can hear him, we can believe him, and we can obey him? I'm glad you asked the question, because when it comes to the word of God, here's point number three, your heart and my heart can't just memorize the word, but it must be actively internalized. In other words, your heart can't just memorize, it must actively internalize. And I'm going to explain what that means, because in order for you and I to keep a healthy heart, it must stay in a healthy position. And for it to stay in a healthy position, our hearts must be fed on a regular basis with some food called faith. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by Jiffy cornbread alone. Oh, it didn't say that. It said, man should not live by bread alone, by Popeyes alone, by McDonald's alone, by Papa Do's alone. He said, no, you can't live on just that. He said, but you have to be able to live, watch this, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Everybody say every word. I love how the Message translation puts it. Jesus answered and said by quoting Deuteronomy, by the way, he was talking to the devil when he quoted this. He said, it takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream. Everybody say a steady stream. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth to stay alive. And here is why most Christians' hearts are not in position to hear and receive the Father's voice. It's because their hearts are not getting a steady stream of God's word. Amen. See, we've made the mistake of thinking that knowing the word and remembering the word is the same thing as intaking the word, and they're not the same. You say, what do you mean by that? Let me give you an example. Yesterday, I remember what I ate for lunch. First lady brought me a salad. It had chicken in it. It had lettuce and tomatoes. It had corn. And then they sprinkled it with some bacon. Then I put some apple cider vinaigrette dressing on top of it. And I mixed it with some regular balsamic vinaigrette dressing. And I'm going to tell you something. That salad was three words. Amazing. But church, although I remember how that salad looked, I remembered how that salad smelled, I remember how that salad tasted, that is not enough for me today to live on. In other words, just because I remember what it looked like and remember what it tasted like, doesn't mean it's going to nourish me today. Why? Because I cannot live by what I remembered. I have to remember by what I ate. And the only way that salad that I saw yesterday, that I tasted yesterday, that I ate yesterday, the only way it's going to benefit me today is if I go back and buy the same salad again. And that's the problem. Church people are remembering what they know about the Bible, but they're not eating it every day. And man cannot live by just bread alone. You got to live on the word today. You know what I'm talking about. You go to, how many go to family reunion sometime? You go to the family reunion, everybody's got an Uncle Willie. Uncle Willie at the, you know, he at the family reunion, Uncle Willie getting drunk. He eating and drinking, and I mean, he is lit, he is full of it, and he cussing everybody out, and then he goes from cussing to preaching. Uncle Willie knows the Bible. He can tell you. How many know some people like that? Let me see hand. Let me see hand. Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, you might be that person. Uncle Willie cussing and preaching. He knows the word because Uncle Willie was trained in the word when he was a kid. The problem is Uncle Willie is not preaching from what he knows. He's preaching from what he remembered. Amen. And us as believers, we try to remember what the word says and think that memorizing it is enough to keep our hearts in good position. It's not. Uncle Willie has proven that. We even quote the word. And you know, that's good too. But the difference, there's a difference between, watch this, saying the word from memory versus saying the word from substance. There's a difference between me remembering the salad and then eating the salad. So now I'm going to talk to some long-term Christians. These are mature Christians. So just look at somebody and say, he might be talking to you on this one. Now these are people. You were church people. Your mama made you go, you know, some of y'all are you're drug babies. Your mama drugged you to church. How many drug babies in the room? Let me see your hand. Yep. Drug babies. Drug you to church. Drug you to Bible study. Drug you to choir practice. Drug you to, you know, HBU and HBCU and all those other U's. Mama drug you. I'm talking to people who was made to go to church. I'm talking about people who learned the Bible when you didn't even want to learn the Bible. These are these long-term, or I'm going to call you mature believers. And here's the problem. A lot of mature believers have stopped eating the word and they're just remembering the word. When the word, listen, when you remember the word and you're not eating the word, then that means the word is no longer being digested. It can't provide you with the nutrients that faith needs for you to be able to sustain your spiritual life. You cannot eat once a week and think you're going to be spiritually strong. It doesn't work like that. When you stand before the devil, you can't talk about what happened back in 1905. No. Man can't live by what you ate on yesterday. So I wonder, when was the last time you had a spiritual dinner? Now, I'm big on listening to the Bible. You know, I got the app on my phone. And most of the time, not all the time, most of the time when I'm listening to it, I'm looking at it too. You know why? In the Old Testament, God told them, I need you to put those words in front of your eyes. Write them on your heart. I mean, he had them to, what? He told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Why? Because you have to keep it in you for it to work for you. Some of y'all, I don't see it's a big deal. I remember the word. That ought to be enough. Okay. Let's say you went grocery shopping yesterday. You show up at the counter. They scan your stuff. Boop, 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 boop. That'll be $184, ma'am. And you say to them, but I paid y'all last week for the groceries I had then. You don't remember seeing me? I came in your line, ma'am. And she gonna say to you, I remember it, but you need money today. And that's what life says to you. Oh, I know you know what the Bible says, but have you put enough in you today for you to live on? Because man can't live on just bread alone, but it gotta live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So I'm wondering, does your daily habits include that word? And here's why. Because my heart is where God speaks. And if my heart ain't in a good spot, God can be talking all day. Which, by the way, he is. He's talking and he's talking and he's talking. But if my heart don't have fresh manna in it, I ain't gonna hear nothing. You know why? Because, see, if you're in the word long enough and consistent enough, you will realize I'm walking in unforgiveness. See, the whole point of the Bible is to use it as a mirror. What's the point of a mirror? It's when you look at the mirror and be like, Okay, if you're a lady, my eyebrows, I need to fix them. They not on fleek. Is that what y'all say? Yeah. Oh, you look in the mirror. Oh man, my wave's not waving. I need to brush. Right? Or, my dress is a little tight. Ooh, okay, I need to work on that, Jesus. You don't just look in the mirror and not make adjustments. Well, when you're looking in the mirror of the word and you're doing it on a consistent basis, you're making adjustments along the way. And the adjustments that you're making is allowing your heart to stay in position. So when God says something to you, you can hear him clearly. The next step is making a decision to obey him. And let me tell you, the easiest way to obey God is to make a decision now that you're going to obey him. I don't know what he's going to tell me. Don't matter. If he tells me to slap you, I'm going to slap you. I mean, no, God ain't going to do that. He ain't going to do that, right? No. But are you in a position to say, okay, God, speak? So as we close the series, maybe he's not speaking, or he's speaking and you don't hear him. Or he's not speaking because you've decided to not obey him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, how do we apply the word today? I want you to value your heart enough to keep the word of God alive in it. You on social media every day. Amen. You on Facebook every day. You on TikTok every day. Well, if you can do that every day, you can get in the word of God every day. So Lord, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that as we position our hearts and keep it in position by pouring your word into it, I thank you that our lives are going to hear the voice from heaven. And God, the decisions that we need to make, our hearts will be in position to hear you tell us what to do. God, when we're in difficult situations and we're not sure what to do, our hearts will be in position for you to tell us what to do. And so I pray in the name of Jesus for everybody who's heard the word today that they will make a personal commitment to feed their hearts your word every single day. And I thank you that as they do that, two things are going to happen. First of all, when they hear and read your word is going to speak to them. But secondly, God, as they hear your word, as they read your word, it's going to keep their hearts in position so that when you speak, they will hear in Jesus' name. With every head still bowed, here's my question. If you die-